page 171. Chapter 18. Courage to Live Righteously. The greatest need in the world today is faith in God and courage to do His will. Introduction. In a general conference address, President David O. McKay related a story told by a man named James L. Gordon. A young boy decided to be an apprentice in one of the carpenter societies. He was a bright young man in his teens, and the men were very glad to admit him. They said, "Come on, let's drink to the entrance of this young man to our group." They poured out the beer and handed him the glass. He said, "No, thank you. I do not drink." "Well," said a gruff old member, "we're not going to have any teetotalers or non-drinkers in our group." "Well," said the young man, "you'll have one if you have me." Another seized him by the collar and said, "Young man, you'll have this beer either inside or outside." "Very well. I came here with a clean jacket and a clean conscience. You may soil my jacket if you wish, but you shall not soil my character." Referring to the young man in the story, President McKay observed, "He had been trained, I use that word properly, not only taught, but trained to avoid the use of tobacco and strong drink, intoxicating liquor. That is what I mean by moral courage. The greatest need in the world today is faith in God and courage to do His will." Page 172. Teachings of David O. McKay. The Savior is the supreme example of courage. He who is or should be the guide of our lives was the most courageous of all men. In Jesus we find bravery at the best, courage at its loftiest, heroism at its climax. True heroism defends the right and faces disaster without cringing. In this regard, the Savior was the personification of true courage and heroism. Illustrative of this, I need only mention the cleansing of the temple. Scripture. Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. 12. "And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves." 13. "And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Back to text. Or his fearlessly speaking the truth when his home folk turned him from Nazareth. Scripture. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 32 and 43 through 44. 16. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read." 17. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." 19. "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." 20. "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." 21. "And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." 22. "And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son?" 23. "And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever ye have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." 24. "And he said, Verily I say unto you, No prophet is accepted in his own country." 25. "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land." 26. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. 29. And rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. 30. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. 31. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. 43. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. 44. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Back to text. Or when the 5,000 in Capernaum were reduced in number, and he turned to the 12 and said, Will ye also go away? Scripture. John chapter 6, verses 66 and 67. 66. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Back to text. Never once, however, did the Master despair or turn from his destined course. This is the kind of courage we need in the world today. As soldiers went to lay hands upon Jesus, Peter jumped to the rescue of his master, drew his sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. See John chapter 18, verse 10. Put up thy sword into the sheath, commanded the Savior. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink of it? John chapter 18, verse 11. What a lesson to Peter! Even though duty led to suffering and death, yet would the Lord not waver in his strength. Peter's strength and loyalty were wavering, but he could not bring himself to flee with the others. Neither could he conclude that it was best to go with Jesus, so he did neither, but followed him afar off, even unto the palace of the high priest. Mark chapter 14, verse 54. At first he remained on the outside, but later ventured in where the servants were sitting. After Peter had denied knowing the Lord three times, the Savior turned and looked upon Peter. Then, recalling the words of his Lord, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Scripture. Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62. 54. Then took they him, and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. 56. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. 57. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. 58. And after a little while another saw him, and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. 59. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. 60. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. 62. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Back to text. It is said when Peter went out speechless from the face of all, and filled the silence weeping bitterly, that his grief was so heavy that he remained alone all day during Friday and Saturday following the Savior's crucifixion. Page 173. If so, his sorrow for what he had done made all the more acute as he recalled the many kind words the Savior had spoken to him and the many, many happy moments he had spent in the Lord's company. Every word and act and look associated with his Master would flash upon his mind with new meaning. Through the mist of his bitter tears, he saw all the true attributes of manhood as they were personified in Jesus: reverence, brotherliness, patience, sincerity, courage. The world's hope and destiny are centered in the man of Galilee, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In your moment when you are fighting out the battle of the day, will you look introspectively and see whether you really believe that? A writer once asked this question: is Jesus only a legendary figure in history, a saint to be painted in the stained glass of church windows, not to be approached and hardly to be mentioned by name? Or is he still what he was when he was in the flesh, a reality, a man of like passions with ourselves, an elder brother, a guide, a counselor, a comforter, a great voice calling to us out of the past to live nobly, to guide bravely, and to keep up our courage to the last? What is he to you, my fellow laborer? Courage springs from faith and hope. We have greater responsibility than ever to learn and to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have greater tasks before us. The final work is not all done yet. We need courage to enter into those new realms. We need courage to meet our present situations and conditions. And that is why I have chosen the text, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Psalms 31, verse 24. In this promise are two principles that should be cherished by every truly religious man: faith and courage. What is implied in the text? We know with assurance that the Lord is keeping faith with his people. Therefore, let none despair, but take courage, and their hope shall not be in vain. Faith in God, trust, confidence in our fellow men, the courage of our convictions will enable us eventually to achieve any righteous cause. With faith in an overruling power, in the personal, intimate protection of our Father, and we like to consider him such a loving Father, let us face our difficulties with courage. Page 174. Young people must develop courage to maintain spiritual values. Maintaining our ideals is another field in which we can manifest courage and merit the approval of God, in whom we trust. These are times when men should keep their heads and not be swept from their moorings by every will-o'-the-wisp theory that is offered as a panacea or cure-all of our present ills. The times call for courageous youth to hold aloft the moral standard. In that field we can find the truest moral courage. It is said that heroism is concentrated courage. Well, our greatest heroes are not always found on the battlefield. I think we find them also among our youth, young men and young women who, when put in social groups, will stand up fearlessly and denounce those things which we know sap the character, the very life energy of youth. Never was there a time in the history of the world, says one writer, when moral heroes were more needed. The world waits for such. The providence of God has commanded science to labor and prepare the way for such. For them she is laying her iron tracks, and stretching her wires, and bridging the oceans. But where are they? Who shall breathe into our civil and political relations the breath of a higher life? The most important thing in the world, says a great scientist, is not the discovery of Galileo, Faraday, and others, but a belief in the reality of moral and spiritual values. I appeal to youth to be courageous in maintaining the moral and spiritual values of the gospel of Jesus Christ. After all, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. The aim of education is to develop resources in the child that will contribute to his well-being as long as life endures. to develop power of self-mastery that he may never be a slave to indulgence or other weaknesses, to develop strong manhood, beautiful womanhood, that in every child and every youth may be found at least the promise of a friend, a companion, one who later may be fit for husband or wife, an exemplary father or loving, intelligent mother, one who can face life with courage, meet disaster with fortitude, and face death without fear. Page 175. At the top of the page we have a picture of Helaman with the stripling warriors. I have read from the 53rd chapter of Alma, which gives an account of young men who were exceedingly valiant for courage, for strength and activity. Men who were true at all times in whatsoever thing they were entrusted. Who were these young men? They were sons of parents who were equally true to every trust. Their parents were converted Lamanites who, when the Spirit of God came upon them, devoted their lives to service of their fellow men, and in their ministry in the church covenanted that they would never more take up arms against their brethren, never more go to war. Such was their oath, such was their covenant, and they were true to it even unto death. I appeal to the youth to be courageous in maintaining the moral and spiritual values of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world needs moral heroes. Page 176. In the words of one writer, two ways lie open for you, one leading to an ever lower and lower plane, where are heard the cries of despair, and the other leading to the highlands of the morning, where are heard the glad shouts of humanity, and where honest effort is rewarded with immortality. In making the choice, God gives you clear vision, clear seeing, strong wills, courageous hearts. Having chosen wisely, may you walk with heads erect, with countenance open, indicating that you have wronged no one. Even though the tasks of life become heavy and sorrow weighs upon you, may the light of the Christ life beckon you on, still undismayed. With moral courage we can overcome life's adversities. Courage is that quality of the mind which meets danger or opposition with calmness and firmness, which enables a man to face difficulties that lie in his pathway to righteous achievement. Courage implies facing difficulties and overcoming them. It is easy enough to do right when in good company, but it is not easy to defend the right when the majority of the crowd are opposing it, and yet that is the time to show true courage. The prophet Joseph, for example, was reviled and persecuted for saying that he had received a vision, but he always remained true to his testimony. Though he was hated and persecuted, yet he said it was true that God had spoken to him, and all the world could not make him think or believe otherwise. See Joseph Smith, History, Chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Such is the courage and firmness everyone should have. When one knows what is right, one should always have the courage to defend it, even in the face of ridicule or punishment. Let us be courageous in defense of the right. Be not afraid to speak out for the right. Let us be true. May God give us courage to choose the right, ability to appreciate the good things of life, and power faithfully to serve Him and our fellow men. Truth is loyalty to the right as we see it. It is courageous living of our lives in harmony with our ideals. It is always power. Page 177. Suggestions for studying and discussion. What is courage? See page 176. Why is moral courage more important than physical courage? How can we increase or strengthen our moral courage? How might we live the gospel with quiet daily courage? What are some examples from the scriptures of the Savior and others showing perfect moral courage? See pages 172 and 173. How has their example strengthened you? What is the relationship between faith and courage? See page 173. How does the Lord help us to face seemingly overwhelming opposition? What must we do to receive His help? Discouragement is to lose one's courage. Why is discouragement such a dangerous tool of the adversary? How can we guard against and overcome discouragement? What kinds of social or other situations require extraordinary courage? How can Latter-day Saints show courage in these situations? How can we help and encourage the children and youth of the Church to be courageous in maintaining gospel standards? See pages 174 through 176. How can the publication For the Strength of Youth help in this effort? Scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 7. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, For I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded. For I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which he commandeth them. Doctrine and Covenant, section 121, verses 7 through 9. 7. My son, peace be unto thy soul. Thine adversity and thine afflictions shall be but a small moment. 8. And then, if thou endure it well, God shall exalt thee on high. Thou shalt triumph over all thy foes. 9. Thy friends do stand by thee, and they shall hail thee again with warm hearts and friendly hands. Back to text. End of chapter 18. Courage to Live Righteously.